Hi, this is Eric Elder, broadcasting a message live from the ranch. I'm glad you joined me tonight because tonight we're going to talk about the joy of the Lord. And joy is elusive to many people. Many people search for joy in different ways and they're unable to find it. Maybe we catch small glimpses of joy every once in a while, and sometimes we don't even catch any glimpse of joy whatsoever. And yet God has said throughout the Bible that joy is available to us. Joy is something promised to us as believers. Joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. And as we follow God, we can actually have that joy. And I think one of the keys to joy is getting a new perspective on your life and a new perspective on how God looks at things. And so tonight I want to talk about that key, which is that new perspective. And if you haven't heard about God's perspective on your life, then I think you'll be enjoying tonight's message as well. And I want to pray for you, especially at the end of the night, that God would fill you with the joy, that you would have hope as you go forward during your week and during your life, that you don't need to walk around in despair, you don't need to walk around depressed, but God can fill you with that joy and the peace that passes understanding. I want you to take a look also at a special passage I've put on the screen. It's from Nehemiah, and it has to do with this verse called, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." And I'm going to play a little bit on the piano, and on your message notes area of the screen, you can just look at that passage and just read through it while I play, and just ask the Lord to speak to you through the message tonight. But just read that and just see what the people were weeping about and why God called them to rejoice. Will you just pray with me? Lord, I pray that you would speak to us tonight. I pray that you would fill us with your joy. I pray that your Holy Spirit would overwhelm us and empower us with your great love so that we could go forth with joy and with the peace that passes understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. I got an email this week from a man who was facing what he called one of the most vulnerable times of his life, one of the most terrifying moments of his life. as he struggled with a sin and in confessing that to someone that he loved and sharing all of that, and he just described it like this gunk in a pipe that was needing to be cleaned out, and it was horrible to him. It was very difficult for him to watch. But as we emailed back and forth and prayed about this, he wrote back to me at one point and he said, "Something you said caused me to laugh in rejoicing praise whilst driving through the grim, drizzling rain tonight. God is thrilled at what is going on. Amen. How beautiful that sounds." God was thrilled at what was going on in this man's life. Even though from this man's perspective it looked terrible, it looked terrifying, it looked vulnerable, it was very fearful for him, and it was digging up a lot of junk that was in his life that he didn't really want to look at or have anyone else look at. And yet, as he thought about it from God's perspective, he saw that God was thrilled with what was going on, that he was finally getting his pipes cleaned out so that the Holy Spirit could flow through him and could minister through him. And he, even though driving in rain and the drizzle and having all this terrible things happen in his life, he saw the great joy of the Lord. And tonight I want to just talk about that, because I think that that is the joy of the Lord. It's not so much that God implants a special joy in us, it's that God himself has a joy and he rejoices over things that are going on in our life. That's the joy of the Lord. The Lord is actually joyful. And in that verse in Nehemiah it says, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." Like this man driving through the streets on a drizzly night, he could have been very depressed about his circumstances, but as he looked from God's perspective, he saw that God was rejoicing, and he said, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." And that brought him joy and him strength to deal with it, and he actually did tell the person he loved, and she took it well, and the whole thing is working out marvelously, just as he walks in the joy of the Lord, and now he is rejoicing, and even today sent me a note that they are still rejoicing and praising God for the things that are going on in their lives. And that is available to all of us. This is the shift that I want to talk about, is shifting from our perspective to God's perspective, because God takes joy in so many things that we go through, even though they're awful to us. God's not some kind of sadistic or terrible God. He sees the great glory that's going on. It says in the Bible, an unusual passage to me and to my eyes, it says that God was pleased to bruise Jesus. He was pleased to see what was happening on the cross. Now, anyone would think in a casual glance that that's a terrible passage. How could God be pleased to see a man suffer and die? Well, he wasn't pleased that that was happening to happen, but he was pleased that through that suffering and death, God was making life available to anyone on the planet who would believe in Jesus Christ. And from Jesus' perspective, it may not have looked very good. It may have looked very grim. But from God's perspective, God was pleased as he looked down and saw what was happening and saw the transformation that was going to happen in the resurrection 3 days later. God saw that millions of people would be saved because they would put their faith in that man and that event that occurred 2,000 years ago. God's perspective is so much different than ours. This happened to me a few years ago, actually about a year ago this time. I was having a very exhausting night, and I was very short on strength. It was late at night, and I was running a lot of photocopies at the copy shop, and I was back at the back all alone, and I still wasn't done, and it was closing time for the shop, and I was just exhausted after spending all day on this project. And then over the intercom, I heard these words. I heard this singing, and it said, "You're just too good to be true." And I looked behind me, and I said, "What is that?" And here it kept singing, "Can't take my eyes off of you." And I thought, I think that's God singing to me. And all of a sudden it just burst out, "I love you, baby." And it just went on saying, "I need you. I love you. I'm so pleased with what you're doing." And someone could take that as a prideful remark, but at that point of the night, I was so exhausted, and I was so weary, and I was so tired. And yet God broke through, and he just spoke to me that what I was doing thrilled him to no end, as he saw someone that was working on something that would glorify his name rather than profaning his name like so many other things are doing. And it gave me a strength. I realized that God was rejoicing, and that joy of the Lord gave me strength, just like in Nehemiah. And it gave me a second wind, and it gave me the encouragement to go on. In fact, in Zephaniah, if you think that's strange that God would actually sing over someone, he says that he will do such a thing. Zephaniah 3:17 says, "He, God, will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing." Dennis Jernigan has a great CD, and he just talks about God rejoicing over us with singing, and saying that that word rejoicing actually means dancing and spinning around wildly in great excitement over us. And I don't know if you can picture God spinning around excitedly over you, and yet that's what God feels about you. That's why he sent Jesus to die for you, and that's why he wants to live in you and through you. He has so much excitement for your life, and he wants you to share that excitement that he's got for you as well. Let's look at that Nehemiah passage just for a second and see what was going on in their lives and how God spoke to them too, because some of you may be doing what they're doing, and that is weeping terribly over sins in your life, weeping terribly over things that are going on, and God says, "Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Look at what had happened. Ezra had found the book of the law. He had found what existed then of the Bible, the parts of the Old Testament that were available, and he came before all the people who were supposed to be following these laws all these years, and yet they had strayed from them, they had gone away from them, and Ezra found this book through some people, and they started reading it, and it says they read from the book of the law in verse 8 of Nehemiah chapter 8. They read from the book of the law, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people could understand what was being read. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and the scribe, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, "This day is sacred to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. They were all cut to the heart because they had not been following what God had said. And Nehemiah said in verse 10, excuse me, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." And the Levites calmed all the people, saying, "Be still, for this is a sacred day. Do not grieve." And all the people went away to eat and drink, to send portions of food, and to celebrate with great joy, because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. They actually were able to turn their weeping into joy as they changed from looking at their perspective and seeing how awful and wretched they were to seeing what God was doing in their life. I know some of you are going through that this week. I've received emails from some of you to that very point, that you feel so wretched that God can't possibly love you. But the fact that you are even aware of your sins in your life is a great delight to God. And he rejoices over you, just like he rejoiced over these Israelites, even though they were still in their sins. As they wept for their sins, God rejoiced over them and said, "Don't grieve anymore. I am thrilled over what's going on. I'm thrilled that you get it. I'm thrilled that you want to change. I'm thrilled that you want something different with your life." And the people were actually able to change their hearts and change their minds, go out and eat and drink and rejoice, because God was doing something marvelous in their lives. That's what he wants to do in your life as well. There's a practical way that you can put this joy to work in your life, that you can take this change of perspective and apply it to your life. And it's simply with these words, "Trust in the Lord." Trust in the Lord. I was reading a book this week. It happened to be about the end times and what's going to happen when Jesus comes back and some of the terrible things that will happen to believers as well as unbelievers. And this particular man was greatly used of God in this book, and this character had just lost his wife and his children, and he came upon this passage in the Bible, and it says he leaned over and collapsed in tears. "The joy of the Lord is my strength," he moaned over and over. "The joy of the Lord is my strength." Joy, the other character thought, what a concept in this place at this time. The name of the game was now survival. Certainly joy took on a different meaning than ever before in his life. He used to equate joy with happiness. Clearly, this man was not implying that he was happy the man who had just lost his wife and children. He might never be happy again. This joy was a deep, abiding peace, an assurance that God was sovereign. They didn't have to like what was happening. They merely had to trust that God knew what he was doing. They didn't have to like what they were what was happening. They merely had to trust that God knew what he was doing. I want to encourage you tonight to put your trust in the Lord, that he knows what he is doing. I imagine it was very hard for Jesus to go to the cross. And as he endured what he had to endure, the mocking and the beating and the scourging, as he went to the cross and even the death that was painful and terrible, I'm sure that that was not a happy time for him in his life. But in the book of Hebrews, it tells us, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Jesus had a joy set before him. He knew what the outcome was going to be. He knew that God was in control and God would win. And even on the cross, he said, God, why have you forsaken me? Even on the cross, he was in anguish over this. And yet he knew, and he willingly went through what God needed him to go through. And it says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He fixed his eyes on that joy. And just like that, we can fix our eyes on Jesus and follow him. And even though we may not be happy about some of the things going on, if we'll get out of our life and look from God's perspective and see what's happening, we can have that joy as well. Let me point out a couple of passages from Scripture that talk about this correlation between trust in the Lord and the joy that you'll have in your life. Psalm 86, verses 1 through 4, says this, Hear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Guard my life, for I am devoted to you. You are my God, save your servant who trusts in you. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. This was King David, and he was in a very dark place. And he just called out to God, and he said, God, I am calling out to you. I am trusting in you. Bring joy to my life. And God fulfilled and answered that request and did bring joy to his life. Look at Psalm 28:7. Another correlation between joy and trust in the Lord. Verse 7 says, The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. My heart leaps for joy, and I will give thanks to him in song. Here David again was saying, I trust in the Lord, and my heart trusts in him, and I am helped. As David trusted in the Lord, he was helped, and it says, My heart leaps for joy, and I will give thanks to him in song. As he trusted in God, he got a joy that sprang out in a song. And I pray that that will happen to you as well, that as you trust in the Lord, it will spring out that so much that you would want to sing about it. Psalm 94:18 says, When I said, My foot is slipping, your love, O Lord, supported me. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought joy to my soul. Again, it's from God that we get our consolation, God that we get joy in our soul. It is the joy of the Lord that brings us strength, the joy of the Lord that brings us comfort. God's joy in us brings us the comfort that we need. And as we can put our trust in God and say, God, I don't understand it, but I am going to trust in you. I'm going to choose to trust in you. Watch, and you'll see the joy fill your heart. Let me read one last verse before we pray. This is what Jesus said about joy and how we could have complete joy. This is in John 15. In verse 11, he says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Jesus says that we can have his joy and that our joy can be complete. Now, what is it that he said? What is it that he told them? He says, In verse 5, I'm the vine, and you are the branches. He who remains in me will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus goes on to say that if you will obey me, just like I obey my Father, then you will bear much fruit, and you will have this joy that I talk about, and your joy will be complete. Jesus wants us to come to him again and again, just like a vine depends on the branches. We've got to depend on Jesus. We've got to come to him, and we've got to obey what he commands us to obey. There's nothing that brings joy more than obeying the command of the Lord. As we obey God and do what he wants us to do, we can rejoice and just be thrilled in our souls. There was a quote from Chariots of Fire where Eric Little said that when God created him, he said, "When God created me, he created me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure." Eric Little knew how God had created him and what Eric Little needed to do. He was an Olympic athlete, and he ran, and he also shared Christ with many people. But he knew that one of the things that God had done for him was to give him a gift of running, that he could run so fast. And as he did and expressed the things that God had called him to do, he felt the pleasure of God. He felt that joy that came from God. I believe that's true for each one of us. God has given us different gifts, different talents, different abilities, and he's called us to walk in those callings. He's called us to walk in those giftings and to express those and to use those. And as we do, we feel his pleasure. If you want to feel the pleasure of God, obey him today. If you've got sin in your life, get rid of it. Get that junk out of your pipe so that the free flow of God can flow through you, and God will rejoice and you will rejoice. You'll feel better about yourself, and you'll be able to see why God is so delighted in you and why he was doing so much work in you. If you're just tired and worn out and you're getting exhausted doing the work that you're doing, just ask God, "God, is this what you want me to do? Am I still doing the thing that you want me to do?" And if you are, you can take so much joy in that and so much comfort in that, and you can walk in that and just say, "Thank you, God. This is exactly what I need to be doing, and I will walk that you are rejoicing over me." If it's not what God's called you to do, then ask him what he wants you to do. He does speak still today. He speaks in words. He speaks through the Bible. He speaks in visions and dreams. And he will speak to you, and he will put you on the right course, and you can experience that joy once again. I want to just sing one song with you, and then I want to come back and pray that God would fill you with this joy that I've been talking about. Sometimes it's one thing to hear it, but another thing when the Holy Spirit does a work in your life and really speaks it to your heart. And that's why I'm going to come back after we sing this song. I'm going to come back and just pray with you that the Holy Spirit would do that work even now as you watch this. Why don't we just sing a song to Jesus? Just come to him and just say, "Jesus, we just love you. We're coming to you, the vine, and we want your joy. We want to know what that joy is that you have promised you will give to your children." This is the song, "My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now." Just sing with me.
My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now.
Sing it one more time.
My Jesus, I love thee. I know my Jesus is now. If ever I love him, if ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis
love. Come to Jesus, and he will give you the joy of the Lord. Look in Ephesians 3:14. As we go to prayer, I just want to remind you and remind myself of God's great love for us. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, today's the day to do it. He's coming back again, and he's going to take those who believe in him to be with him forever in heaven. If you want to be part of that, all you have to do is repent of your sins, believe that Jesus died for your sins so you wouldn't have to, ask his forgiveness, and you will be brought into the kingdom of God. You will have life abundant, not only in heaven, but here on earth as well. God will forgive you of your sins, and he'll walk you right through the gates of heaven. And I just can't think of a better thing that you could do with your time than to just give your heart to Jesus. If you don't know the love of God, here it is in Ephesians 3:14. It says, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." God wants you to grasp how high and long and wide and deep is the love of Christ. If you don't know that love, I'm going to pray for you that God would bury that deep in your heart, and he would plant that as a seed that would grow over the next few days and weeks. In Galatians 5:22, God promises that as we ask for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, Jesus didn't leave us alone when he died. He said, "I'm going to send a counselor, the Holy Spirit, to come and comfort you and be with you." And here's what this Holy Spirit will do in your life. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Do you need some of these things in your life? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. These are the fruits of the Spirit. And if you ask Jesus into your life, you can also ask that he would fill you with his Holy Spirit, so you can be filled with his love and his joy, that you can know that and experience that. And finally, there's a blessing I'm going to pray over you tonight. In Romans 15:13, it says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." God wants you to overflow with hope as you trust in him. He wants you to be filled with that joy. Let's pray right now that God would do that in each of our hearts. Lord, I thank you for this message. I thank you for speaking a word of life to me and my family, Lord, as we have needed it over the years. And I pray now that you would speak that same word of life to others, God, as they need it right now, this very day, Lord. Some of them maybe more than they've ever needed it before in their life. God, if they've never believed in you, if they've never believed in your son Jesus, I pray that they would make that decision right now. And say with me, "Lord, I believe in you. I trust that you've died for my sins. I'm sorry for what I've done. I won't do them again. I want to be with you in heaven forever. Please take me when you come back for your believers." In Jesus' name, amen. That's the greatest prayer you could ever pray. If you've already prayed that in your life and you're still just wanting that joy of the Lord, let me pray for you now. God, I pray that the people listening and watching would be able to see see things from your perspective. God, help them get out of their own situations and look from your perspective up in heaven as you look down on our lives. God, help us to get out of ourselves and to see things as you see them, that we, like the man driving through the drizzling rain, could see the rejoicing that you took over the cleaning out of that sin in his life. God, that you would just fill us and sing over us with rejoicing as we do your work, even though we're exhausted. God, that you would minister to those who minister to others, that you would fill them with a deep and abiding peace and a hope that they never have to give up, that they know they will never give up because they can always trust in you. God, I pray that your joy would so fill them that it would be unending. God, you say someday we will wear crowns of joy, inexpressible joy, joy that is everlasting. And God, I pray that those crowns would begin to manifest in our lives, even here on this earth, a crown of everlasting joy that would be ours to keep forever, Lord. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. God loves you so much. It's too deep and wide and long and high to express, but his Holy Spirit can express it to you. If you need that this week, read this book, get in your Bible, get in prayer, come to God, come to Jesus the Vine again and again, and he will fill you with joy and peace and love everlasting. I hope you've enjoyed this. If you need special prayer, you can pray with us after our live broadcast. We're in the chat room at the ranch. You can find it on the Talk to Someone page. Or if you want to find me throughout the week, you can email me anytime at pokey@theranch.org. Or you can find me on ICQ, and we can chat even online from wherever you are in the world watching this. We can chat in real time and just talk and pray over the things that are going on in your life. I believe God answers these prayers. I've seen it work in my life and in the lives of others, and it can work in your life too. There's no doubt about it. Don't take my word for it. Take his. Join me next week again for another message live from the ranch.